Because all of us need a reality check. All right? We need a reality check in our lives to make sure we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. Now, as we come to going to dress. He dresses this time for chat, and he basically said, there's a bunch of babies in the church of Corinth, and they're not babies, but they're acting like babies. How many have seen an adult act like a baby before? Hey, don't raise your husband's hand. You're going to get yourself in trouble. But we've seen people act like babies. Have you ever seen a grown individual in a restaurant or in a store throw a fit like a little two-year-old throws a fit? Now, a while back, I was in a store that sold hunting equipment and those type of things and that. And there was a guy and his wife in the store. And the guy wanted some type of equipment. And the wife told him, no. I thought he was a two-year-old. He is probably older than me. He got mad, he took the item, he chucked it back on the shelf, he threw down some stuff in the cart, and he stomped out of the store because he was told no, he couldn't have it. Now let me tell you, there was a guy probably about 50 years of age that acted like a baby. The problem the church of Corinth was having, there was a lot of immature individuals in the church. And that immaturity leads to problems in the people's lives, but leads to problems in the church. Now, last week, as we looked at chapter 2, we just dealt with him saying, you can know the deeper things of God because you have the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit illuminates his word. And those that are spiritual will understand as the Holy Spirit illuminates and shows and teaches and gives that. Now we come into chapter 3. If you're able to, please stand with me as we read the first 9 verses of this text this morning. As we look at a time for a chat. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babies in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I'm of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed? Even as Lord gave to every man, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your precious word. And Lord, we pray that you would illuminate your scriptures to us this morning. We would glean the truths you want each of us to glean and apply to our hearts and to our lives. We pray in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. You may be seated. As we look at the time to chat here, we see that Paul addresses the carnality in the church. Look at verse 1 and verse 2. A time to chat. It's time to grow up. Stop being babies. And as he addresses this issue, he addresses the carnality in the church. Look at verse 1 with me. And I, brethren. Now, who is he addressing? He's addressing the church at Corinth. He's addressing brethren. So this is talking about believers. Now, last week, we looked at the natural man that was found in chapter 2. The natural man would be an individual that would not be considered saved. The natural man is one that follows the flesh. It has never been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Is not in Christ Jesus. That's a natural man. Now, he's addressing here the brethren, and he's addressing those that are saved. So the individuals he's talking to that are the babies that he's addressing are ones that are in Christ. They are saved. I want to say this morning. He's addressing those that have put their faith in Jesus Christ. Now, I wish every believer that was saved was spiritual. I wish every believer that was saved was maturing and growing every day of their lives. But the truth of the matter is, spirituality, being spiritual mature, has nothing to do with salvation. Salvation is this. Salvation is my eyes have been opened. There's been a time in my life that the Lord Jesus Christ opened my eyes. I was dead in the trespasses of my sin. But God, who is rich in mercy, opened my eyes, brought me to the place where I saw my need of a Savior, and out of faith, I repented of my sins, turned from my sins, turned to the Lord Jesus Christ, and put my faith and trust in Him and Him alone for salvation. But there are believers that are weak. There are believers that have never grown in their Christian walk, in Christian life. He says, I'm addressing these individuals in our time to chat. He's addressing the family. He's addressing those that say, we are in Christ. There's times in our lives we need to be addressed. That word address carries the idea of exhorting. We need to be challenged sometimes. I don't always like to be challenged. I don't like to be called out. How many like to be called out when you're not doing right? We don't. But sometimes, how many of us need that sometimes in our lives? And Paul is calling them out. And this morning, as we look at this, if the Holy Spirit calls you out, take it from the Holy Spirit, and let's deal with it, and let's get it right. Here's the addressing. Could not speak unto you as under spiritual. You know what he's saying there? He's addressing them. I'm talking to my family. But family, some of you can't handle what I need to tell you. Some of you can't handle spiritual things. Have you ever met some believers that just can't handle the spiritual talks? You try to talk spiritual things, and they always try to shift from the spiritual to something that's more carnal, to something else, and they always have inappropriate things to say and those type of things, and they never want to address, they never want to handle the spiritual. Now, some of you, when you've talked to your young kids before, what has happened when you've talked to some of your young kids before? They look at you, and they don't understand what you're saying, right? They look at you and go, that doesn't make a lot of sense. How many have had that with a 2-year-old before? A 3-year-old, a 4-year-old. And you have to be careful what words you use. How many of you use big words before and your young kids go, huh? Now, when they get 15, 16, 18, 30, 40. You should be able to use some big words, right? And they should be able to understand you. Now, how many, you don't have to raise your hand, know some older people that you've tried to use big words with, they don't understand what you're saying. They look at you like, you're speaking a foreign language. And you used a big word, like supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, all right? And you go, what does that word mean, all right? Paul is saying, hey, I'm giving you some things, but you can't handle it because you're not spiritual. You ever wonder why sometimes in a church setting, some people walk out and they say, man, I've been fed. I've heard what I needed to hear. That was awesome. God really knew what I needed. And you walk out and go, I didn't get anything out of that. Wait a second. I didn't even understand what was being said. I didn't understand the truth. Because the difference is this. Those that are spiritual can understand spiritual things. Those that are in Christ Jesus, that are spiritually growing, spiritually maturing, not that you know everything, but the Holy Spirit illuminates as we look at last week, and you understand the truth. He is saying, some of you can't understand it because I'm trying to speak spiritual things to you, but you don't understand it because, look at the next phrase. Look at this. Because you are carnal. Unto you as unto spiritual, but as under carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. What is a carnal believer he's addressing? A carnal believer is saved, but acts like the natural man. All right? The natural man is not saved. The carnal believer is saved, but acts like the natural man. So a carnal man acts like a baby. A carnal man bases things upon their flesh, their feelings, their emotion, instead of after spiritual things. A carnal individual, a fleshly individual, is controlled or dominated by the flesh. Now, what's traits of a baby? A baby is self-centered. Have you ever noticed that? What does the baby care about? Themselves at that point. When they want to use the restroom, they want to use the restroom. And I'm not talking going to the restroom, I'm talking in their little diaper, right? And they want to be changed right away, right? What happens if it sits too long in the diaper, right? Do we have issues on hand, right? If a baby wants to eat, what does the baby want? Now, how many of you can put them on schedules to a point, but what happens most of the time? If a baby's hungry, you're going to feed the baby, right? Because the baby starts to what? Not just cry. Bellow out. Kind of like Dave does when he's hungry. And you hear that. And so you get that mark. Some of you got that. All right. And we see that. And so the baby cries. The baby's self-centered. Do you know how many self-centered people are in our churches today? Oh, preacher, now you're going to step on toes. You know, we have a lot of carnal people in our churches that are immature, spiritually can't handle the spiritual things, because why? Who are they concerned about? They're concerned about themselves. We become very self-centered. Have you ever, now we don't have this issue here, but I've known there's churches. Do you know that some churches, people have their assigned seats? Now, I know some people like to sit in their same areas, but I hope no one's going to get mad if someone sits in their seat. They're not going to pick them up and throw them out of their seat. All right? Because does it really matter where you sit? No, it doesn't. We become self-centered because we care about ourselves. That's a baby. What's another character trait of a baby? Is short attention span. Now, a baby, what do you have to do a lot of times? You take this rattle and rattle here. You take this toy, you play with this toy here. You feed them, you burp them, you do this. You have to keep moving them. You pick them up and you walk them around like this. And you have to jump up and down a little bit. And you do this and you do that. Because, and they're short attention span. And they sit for a little bit and they like this a little bit. They have the little mobile and they play with that for a little bit. Then they're done with it. Then they want to do this. They lay on the floor here. They go over here. They go over there. How many believers are the same way? Because we're spiritually immature, this is what Paul's addressing here. You're carnal, you're fleshly, You have a short attention span. You can't handle what's being taught to you. We turn off. Oh, now we're going to step on toes here. There's a time, we all know, that you could go to church service and they would preach for hours. Now, about 4 months ago, I preached a message, probably the longest message I preached in almost 20 years of being here. It was an hour and 22 minutes. And then I finished that message in the afternoon service and preached another 45 minutes on that message. That is the longest message I think I've ever preached in my life. Now, it is interesting because in the old days, two-hour message was common. Now, if we preached a two-hour message today straight, how many of us, myself included, would start to doze off? We'd start to think about this and think about that, and our minds would travel and would be distracted. Come on, get your hands up, every one of you sinners, myself included, all right? I would, because what has happened? Our attention span is not where it needs to be. But see, if I'm spiritual, if I'm growing, I can sit for hours and dig into the Word of God and want the Word of God and study the Word of God and want the Word of God to work in my heart and my life. Paul's saying there's some individuals, I want to talk spiritual things, but I can't talk spiritual things because you're acting like immature little children, babies, and you're not growing, you're carnal-minded, you're self-centered, you can't handle things, you're easily distracted. What's another thing for babies? Do you know babies like shiny things? You know the sparkly things? You know what a lot of immature believers like? They like the shiny, the sparkle things of life. They want the bigger and better things. Now, is there anything wrong with having nice things? No. But an immature believer wants the newest and greatest thing every day. How many of you are afraid to take your husband to the store because you know he's going to see something? There's some hands coming up. How many of you are afraid to let your husband watch infomercials? Because every infomercial he sees, he wants to be able to get that. All right. The idea is this whole idea of the baby. He says, but as under carnal, even as under babes in Christ, I have fed you with milk, not with meat. He's addressing them, says, because of the state you're in, you can't handle what you need to handle. Now, as a baby, milk is good, right? And we give that milk, or the formula, or the different types of things that we give babies. But how many of us could handle milk, and that's the only thing we have for the rest of our lives? So instead of buying groceries today, I'm going to give you a year's supply of formula. And the only thing that you can eat every day, Rick, no more rice and beans, Rick, the only thing you can eat every day is formula. And I'm going to even give it to you in a baby bottle. And you have to drink that every day for the rest of your lives. You say, there's no way I could do that. No way I would want to do that. No way. But why do we do that spiritually speaking? Get this. Let's get this. Why do we do this? Because so many of us, when things get too deep, things get too hard, there's too much, we just shut off and don't want anything to do with it. Because we can't handle the meat. You see, I am a meat lover. All right? I don't have to have some of the other things of life, all right? I've never been a big dessert fan. If I have a dessert, it's great and wonderful, but I don't have to have it. I don't have to have even potatoes. I don't have to have some of that. I don't have to have bread. I could do without bread. But don't take away my meat. Now, I tell you, Eric is with us from Germany. He was our foreign exchange student a couple years ago, and he's back, and he leaves again tomorrow. He just came back to visit with us. So I had, from a while back, I had a prime rib roast that I got way back when there was a great sale. So I got it out yesterday. I defrosted it, and I cooked that. And I made it, and I sliced it. And let me tell you, it was good. And Rich, I didn't save you any. And I tell you, it was so good. And that. And I was digging into that, and it was so tender, just falling apart. Oh. But could you imagine feeding that to a baby? Could you imagine feeding that to someone that could not digest that food? What would happen? They would choke. Now, those that know a rib roast, there's a lot of fat on the rib roast. So I cut all the, after then trimmed stuff up for the kids and that, cut all the fat. I put in a bag for the dogs, for the fat. Now, we have two bigger dogs and we have one small little little dog. And I put the bigger pieces in the big dog's dishes, and I cut up smaller pieces for the little dog. Now, the little dog thinks it's a big dog and decided to go in the big dog's dish and try to eat one of the big pieces of fat. Guess what happened? And then ended up coming out with some other stuff, all right? Not to be too gross. Why? Because the little dog couldn't handle what the big dogs can handle. Here's the thought that we need to get. The reason you can't handle the truth when the truth hits us upside the head is because we're not spiritually minded. We are carnally minded. The reason is that you and I get upset when someone steps on our toes, when the Holy Spirit works in our hearts and in our lives, and we get mad at the deeper things of God, is because we are carnal-minded, not spiritual-minded. We get upset when the Holy Spirit hits us and says, hey, you're doing wrong, you're not doing right, you're not living the right way, you're not growing, you're not faithful as you should be, you're not witnessing as you should be, you're not doing what you need to be doing, and we get mad at that. It's because we're carnal-minded, and we can't handle those things. It says, you're not able to bear it. Neither yet now are you able. You weren't back then, and you're not now. You know what this says? You can be saved for a long time and still be a baby. You can be in a church your whole life and still be a baby. You can have been around Bible study. You can have been around preaching. You can have been around those things and still not have grown. You can have been in a good home and been taught the word of God and taught the things and still be a baby. You can have a Sunday school, the greatest Sunday school teacher that ever walked the face of this earth, and still be a baby. You can have all the tools and still not mature and grow. Do you know one of the things that we need in our lives is something called discipleship? I believe every believer needs discipleship. Now, what is discipleship? Well, we've termed it this way. The more the one-on-one teaching and sitting down, that's good. But do you know you can get discipleship coming to church services? You can get discipleship studying the Word of God. Now, I think it's good that someone takes someone underneath their wing. I think it's wonderful, that teaching. What is discipleship? It's basically studying the truth and applying to the truth to your life. And there are many that have been in church for a long time that have never taken in the truth of the Word of God and applied the Word of God to their hearts and to their lives. They've never taken it. They never allow it to digest it and get it into themselves. So he addresses the carnality in the church. But look at verse 4 and verse 5. Not only does he address the carnality, he describes the results of the carnality. All right? Carnal one is saved. Acts like a natural man, but is saved. Is like a baby. But what happens when we act like babies? What's the result? Look with me in verse 4 and verse 5. For while one saith, I'm of Paul, another, I'm of Apollos, are you not carnal? Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believe, even as the Lord gave to every man. For ye are yet carnal, verse 3, whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, and ye are not carnal and walk as men. I want us to get this, and I want us to understand some truths this morning. There is some result of carnality. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envy and strife and division. When you act like babies, there's envy, there's strife, there's division. The idea of envy is where you are jealous of somebody else. Do you know in churches today, in the church of Corinth, there is people that actually were jealous of others? That's why they said, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos. We've looked at that earlier on. We're going to look at it again in this portion of Scripture. And they were saying, I'm of this person, I'm of that person. And addresses this. And Paul says, I'm going to address this. I want you to see the truth here. But jealousy is a result of carnality. I want to address some issues that happens not maybe in this church, but in churches today. Do you know people that are spiritually mature get jealous when someone else is asked to do something and they're not asked to do it? Do you know that's a sign of a baby? Is when someone in the church gets upset because someone else was asked to do something and they weren't asked to do it. They're jealous of that person. They're jealous of that person because of this and because of that. And they have a carnal mindset and they act as babies because they're jealous of those things. There's envy. Well, I seem better than that person. Why did they ask Brother Dave to lead the songs? Why didn't they ask me to sing and lead the songs? You know what? I can do a lot better job than Brother Dave. And you know what? I want to just prove that to each of you. And we're going to go ahead. But we have that idea. We have that mindset. I'm jealous of that person. I'm envy of that person. Do you know the only reason you get envy of somebody is because we're not where we need to be spiritually. We're still babies. Well, I'm never making food for that thing ever again. No one ate my food. I tell you, I don't know why they ate Brother Rich's food. My food is so much better than his. I use the same wood to smoke, but they like his meat that smoked better than mine. I'm never going to make food again. That's being a baby. We got to grow up. We got to realize this whole idea of spiritual immaturity in our lives. And he's saying a sign of this, a result of spiritual immaturity, a sign of this that he's addressing is that of envy, that of jealousy, that of being upset because someone else didn't pat you on the back, but someone else got patted on the back. But look at the next issue that he says is a result of carnality. Strife. That's fighting. That's contention. Do you know what carnality produces is when you're always ready to put up your fist and ready to fight. Now, I got to be careful. He's an old-time wrestling coach. I'll get hurt. But you put up a fist, we're ready to fight. We're ready to battle. He's a little older, so I could probably beat him. But the idea is this. We're always looking. An immature believer, Paul says, you're always looking for a battle. You're always looking for a fight. If someone says something, you start thinking, do they really mean what they said or do they mean something else? Ooh, I tell you, that's one reason I don't think you should carry on long texts or emails. Because you don't really know what they're saying. Now, how many of you read an email and you took it totally different than the way the person meant that email? All right? It's very easy. Now, we do that even when we've seen the person. But when you can't even see the person's face, you can't hear the person's tone, you can't hear those things, but we're always ready. That idea of strife is, I'm a contention person. I'm ready to fight. And a lot of them say, well, I never want to fight. But man, as soon as we can, we're ready to just put our hands up and we're ready to fight. That's spiritual immaturity. You know what happens in a church? Again, not saying this church. I'm saying churches like this, churches similar. There's an individual buildings and just like this, because our church is perfect, because you have a perfect pastor and there's no problems. But a lot of churches, there's contention in the church, and people get upset over the smallest things, because you know why? They're babies. That's what Paul's saying. He's addressing them and says, you know what carnality produces? It produces that envy. It's a strife. You know why you get upset over the smallest things and you get your feelings hurt? It's because you're a baby. You know, some of us need to develop thick skin, all right, in the sense. Because as I grow, as I mature, do you know the things that bother me as a baby shouldn't bother me as an adult, as one that's spiritually mature? Now, as a little kid, if someone pushed me a little bit, I would get upset a little bit. Some of you are little drama mamas, all right? Someone pushed you, you fell all the way back, woo, like that, and you would fall on your knee, especially if it was your brother or sister or sibling, and you'd cry, Mommy, he did this to me. But now, if someone comes up and gives you a little push, should you turn around and knock them? Or should you just keep on walking? See, spiritual maturity means I keep on walking. I don't let that bother me. I don't get upset about it. I don't let those things take a hold of me. You see, spiritual maturity means I can handle the things that are coming my way. I'm not going to be contentious. I'm not going to try to find a fight. I'm not going to try to pick a battle. I'm going to keep on keeping on for the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only do we see the envy, the strife, but there's the next word. Look at that verse, verse 3. We see that next word there. We see the word division. Carnality produces division. See, he addresses them. He says, there's carnal people in here. Now he says, here's the result of carnality. The result of carnality is there's divisions that come about. You ever notice sometimes divisions start in a family? Or divisions start other places. It's someone saying something that is taken the wrong way, that isn't handled in the right way, that explodes into a bigger problem. Do you know what happens with carnal people? They are jealous of someone. They get their fist up ready to fight, and then they try to get other people on their sides. Brian, come up here. Nathaniel, come up here. Rex, come up here. Hurry, hurry, Rex. Come up here. Rich, come up here. Okay, you guys over here. Hurry, 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 hurry. Rick, over here, please. With other Rick, right up here. Okay. So here's the idea. These individuals are jealous of these individuals. Because they have better looks than they do. And because of all the money that they have and all the things they have, they're jealous of them. So because they're jealous of them, now what takes place is this. They start to create strife. They start to get upset. And so everything that these two Ricks do, they find problems with what they do. They don't like the way they walk. They don't like like the way they chew gum.
They don't like his tie.
They don't like anything he does. So what they do then is they get upset. So they go around and they're going to get people on their side. So go around and get people on your side. Go get some people. You got to bring up some people. Hurry, hurry. Hurry. Get. All right.
Let's go rough them up. Don't you start.
All right. So now we got this, and now what happens is this. This group gets this whole section on their side. This group gets this small section on the side. And now what happens is we cause division within the church. We cause problems within the church. Now what could have happened is this. Brother X didn't like certain things. And as a spiritual mature person, he goes and he addresses this. Get this. He addresses the issues with them. Even if they don't listen, then he goes back. He gets one other person, and he brings that person back and addresses the issue and deals with the issue, and it's settled. You guys have a seat over there. You stay here. And now, look at this. I want you to see this. Now, you have this. You don't have division. You don't have envy. You don't have contention. You have unity. Have a seat.
Where are the girls?
Now the idea is this. The idea is this. Get this. The carnal individual creates strife, envy, division. Because look at this. Because they are focused on man. Get this. Who then is Paul? Who is Paul's but ministers, but whom ye believe, even as the Lord gave to every man? They were saying, I'm of Apollos. Are ye not carnal? They were following a man. The problem is spiritual immaturity not only creates those issues, but it's because they follow after an individual instead of after God. Some of the problems that happens in the church is instead of following after God and seeing spiritual things and realizing how we need to deal with it, Brother Rex has an issue, and I like Brother Rex. Brother Rex has done this and Brother Rex has done that. I'm going to follow Brother Rex, and I don't care what it causes, what harm it causes to the name of Christ, what harm it causes to the church, what harm it causes those things. I'm going to follow him, and then I'm going to split things wide open and cause division. We see the dressing. We see the results. But I want you to see verse 6 to verse 9, and we'll wrap this all together. I planted, Apollos water, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For he labors together with God, ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. I want you to see the cause for growth. See, we see it addressed, we see the results, but I want you to see the cause for growth. The cause for growth is that the work of God is a team effort. The work of God is not about an individual in this room. The work of God is not about an individual that may be a spiritual leader in your life. The work of God is about serving God and coming together for the sole cause of glorifying him and that unity. It's the idea of, okay, I have a job, but the purpose of my job and the purpose of his job is to come together and see God do great things. You see, I made water, I might have planned it, I might have done this, but God is the one that gives the increase. God's the one that brings about the results. God's the one that does this. Stop dividing. Stop trying to follow man. Follow God. Come together. Work together. Realize that each of us have a place. Each of us have responsibilities. Each of us need to do certain things in our lives and work together as a team. It's not a competition. That's what Paul was addressing. He says, The carnal will think this is a competition. It's not a competition. Do you know? It doesn't matter if I've done more than you. We're supposed to do our responsibilities for what we get rewards for. As the Bible says, hey, I need to be responsible for myself, living the way I'm supposed to be living. But it doesn't matter. It's not competition. It's not this point for me, this point for you. It's us working together. Rewards based on our faithfulness. It's not based upon numbers. Reward is based upon faithfulness, not based upon numbers. Do you know some people can be more faithful and you never even know how faithful they are? And they may not be able to do great big things that we consider big, but they were more faithful. What is a story you know of? There was a bunch of people that put a bunch of money in something, but there's one that put all that she had, and she was faithful in giving all that she had. There was one that sold his land and gave it, and gave all that he had. There's others that sold their land and lied about the giving it all, but they didn't give it all. It has to do with faithfulness. You see, the idea is this: a spiritual, mature individual who is not carnal-minded does not get caught up in all the other things, but realizes that their purpose on life is to be faithful to the God who saved them. We are companions. That word husbandry means crop. We are God's crop. God's building. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. I'm still his. He's working on me. I'm maturing. I'm growing. But it's God that does the work. It is God that does the saving. It is God that does the changing. It's not man. Spiritual maturity realizes it's not about me. It's all about him. And that's where we need to get in our lives. And that's what he was telling the church at Corinth. So many of you are so focused on the wrong things because you're carnal-minded. Growth is not going to happen till we're spiritually minded. And growth comes as we are what God wants us to be. As God sees us fit, God adds to the church. As we are spiritually, as we are growing, as my life is right, as I'm serving God with all that I have, as I'm living in the way I should, then God gives the increase. And that's what needs to happen. Last week we looked at shallow Christianity. Today we looked at the chat of dealing with babies. Let's stop being babies. Let's stop being spiritually immature. Let's stop saying, give me milk. And let's start saying, give me meat. Let's stop comparing ourselves and competing with one another. And let's start working together and realize we got to serve God with all we have. You and I do not know how much time we have left on this earth. The Bible says, redeem the time, because the days are evil. The days are evil. That also carries out the days are perilous times. We are getting short on time. We don't know how much time we have. But I do know this. I got to stop fighting. I got to stop fussing. I got to stop crying. I got to stop whining. I got to stop doing those things. And start